In Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Peter exhorted them to maintain a demarcation line between them and the untoward generation. The human race has not changed, and it is still untoward. It is only the extent to which they have become more depraved that has altered anything. The Apostle Paul wrote in his second epistle to Timothy, chapter 3, in verse 2, speaking of the perilous times that would come in the last days. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, and not being satisfied with the picture of civilization in these last days, he continued in the fourth verse by saying that they will be traitors, heady, high-minded, and lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. So we see that the Apostle Paul left on record a very clear estimate of the condition of the society with which we are surrounded. Today is a technological age, when even school children walk about with their telephones to communicate with each other, or in the privacy of their own rooms with their computers, where they are able to link in to the various sites of doubtful repute. With that equipment, they are even able to access the seriously degrading aspects of society, unless under morally inclined parents. The danger of unsupervised internet connections is a problem that we hear of on an almost daily basis, often with tragic results. Such programs are almost without exception for the benefit of lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, and are defiling to the mind and corrupting to the intellect. How well has the Apostle Paul expressed this with the words, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Yes, Paul saw an increase in unholiness, but now even blasphemy drops from the lips of the smallest child. He follows the example of their ill-educated parents, ignorant of the word of the Lord. We can at times feel shocked by some of the expressions that fall from their lips. The advantage of the internet and Wi-Fi connections are abused by the ignorant ravings of the unenlightened. It's probably not overstating the fact that these things are a danger, even to ourselves, even though we are individually dedicated to the ways of the Lord. The words of the Apostle Paul to Timothy in his first epistle, chapter 6, and verse 5, doesn't even come near to fully describing today's immorality. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. It's so easy to become tainted by what goes on around us. The description of mankind given by the Apostle Paul that we read previously, is thus as apposite and even more dangerous than it was foreseen when it was first written, because it is now available to all on a worldwide basis. So was the Apostle Peter's advice in today's reading? What was that? Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Peter had every reason to know the validity of his exhortation. It will be remembered how the circumstances in which he found himself during the trial of Jesus resulted in his denying his Lord three times. Turn with me to Luke chapter 22, verse 54. Luke 22 and verse 54. Then took they him, that is Jesus, and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. It is only Luke that records this fact, but in Peter doing so, he placed himself under greater pressure to acknowledge his support for the victim in the person of Jesus. It's the same for us. We should avoid entering into a situation that makes it more difficult to be true to our allegiance to the way of the Lord. The Apostle Paul warned the ecclesia in Corinth to choose their company wisely. In his first epistle, chapter 15 and verse 33, we read, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." Or more clearly, in the New Living Translation, "Bad company corrupts good character." The New Testament scriptures are full of exhortation to be separate from such associations. But how far should we isolate ourselves without diminishing the opportunities to spread the word? To the ecclesia in Ephesus, Paul wrote, "Be ye not therefore partakers with them." And he expanded his thought later in the same chapter by saying, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." In following this advice, we may well be described as unsocial, insular, or even standoffish. These are cruel attacks indeed, but they come from those who do not know the wonderful end to which we are striving, and for which we must be prepared to be the outsiders as far as this world is concerned. The book of Psalms opens with a wonderful exhortation to us all. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." This was undoubtedly David's own prescription for holy living, and he adds to it later on in the 26th Psalm in verse 4 with the words, "I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers." The Apostle Peter didn't follow that example. David's own son Solomon proclaimed boldly the same tenet in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 14, where we read, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass by it, turn from it, and pass away. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. Avoid it, turn from it, and pass away." Standoffish? Yes. But as we have said, that is the way of the truth. That is the path to be followed, as the Lord himself prescribed it in Matthew chapter 7, verse 14. "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And Jesus continued, "Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? If we want grapes, don't go among the thorns and thistles." Although we at times have found it necessary to bring forward the words of Apostle Paul and related them to the sometimes troublesome subject of marriage, the principle equally applies to our daily conduct in the world about us. We find it in his second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 6, verse 14. They're so well known, but let us repeat them again here. "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. To emphasize the importance of every aspect of what the apostle has prescribed here, I'm again going to repeat it in the words of the New Living Bible. Don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Therefore come out from among unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things and I will welcome you. Unsocial? Standoffish? Yes. But this is the powerful and inspired advice of the Almighty One, our Father in heaven. Brothers and sisters, the days are shortening fast to the coming of our Lord. Let us bear in mind day by day the words we find toward the end of the book of the Revelation. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. So let us follow the Apostle Peter's advice and save yourselves from this untoward generation. As we come to the centerpiece of our meeting together today, let us, as we take the cup of his suffering, remember well and resolve again to follow the advice given so clearly in the Scripture of Truth. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. There is no alternative. It has to be one or the other.